Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Should a true prophet of God have the need to alter and correct revelations from God? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue our look at an article in the January 2013 Ensign magazine, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, an article titled, Great and Marvelous Are the Revelations of God, written by Garrett Dirkmott of the Church History Department. We are looking now at page 46 under the subtitle, Many Revelations Were Later Revised by Joseph Smith Through Inspiration. What does it say there?
It says, over the course of the first 5 years of the church, Joseph and others under his direction made changes and corrections to some of the early revelation texts in an attempt to more closely portray the intent of the revelation. Other times, especially as the revelations were being prepared for publication, Joseph was inspired to update the contents of the revelations to reflect a growing church structure and new circumstances. At times, this process resulted in substantial additions to the original text. As early as November 1831, a church conference resolved that, quote, Joseph Smith Jr. correct those errors or mistakes which he may discover by the Holy Spirit while reviewing the revelations and commandments and also the fullness of the scriptures.
Now, wait a minute. In a Mormon concept of the Godhead, they are all one in purpose, right? Now, if the Father is revealing things to Joseph Smith and the Holy Spirit's catching problems in that, catching things that need to be corrected, doesn't that sound a little bit odd to you?
Well, why wouldn't he get it right the first time?
I have no idea. You would think that he would, have to go back and alter and correct it. Now, they can say, well, this was done by the Holy Spirit. Well, shouldn't we assume that the first time it was given had some kind of influence from the Holy Spirit as well? I don't get that.
Well, what about the Book of Mormon? The way I understand the Book of Mormon being written, that Joseph Smith was not allowed to continue if it was wrong and he had to go back and fix it.
According to David Whitmer, he would read the characters off of the stone in the hat, and with what he had said was read back to him correctly by the scribe, it would go on to the next set of characters. So really, there's no margin of error for how the first edition, 1830, edition of the Book of Mormon came to us. Now, we know that there have been thousands of alterations made to the Book of Mormon since then. Many of them are minor, they're punctuation, things like that. But there are textual changes as well. I would have to assume that those words that were changed were probably not in what Joseph Smith was supposedly reading off the rock, because it couldn't be. If the scribe had to read it back correctly to go on to the next set of characters, there would be no need to make changes like that. However, we find that this is the case when you compare an 1830 edition with a modern edition of the Book of Mormon. Now, when it comes to this changes in the revelations, the subheading says many revelations were later revised by Joseph Smith through inspiration. For most Mormons living today, that's enough. Okay, he was inspired. I'm just going to go along with it, and I'm not going to raise any more questions about why Joseph Smith has to alter or correct a revelation originally given to him by God.
And that's what you have called Joseph Smith getting a free pass.
He always gets a free pass. Mormons are always giving Joseph Smith a free pass. It doesn't seem to really matter what the problem is. If it's Joseph Smith, they give it to him. That wasn't always the case. David Whitmer, who was one of the three witnesses to the authenticity of the Book of Mormon. Now, he never denied his testimony in the Book of Mormon, but he certainly had doubts about Joseph Smith's calling as a prophet. And he wrote a booklet called An Address to All Believers in Christ. by a witness to the divine authenticity of the Book of Mormon. It's dated 1887, so this is towards the end of his life. But one of the things that he says throughout the book is he wants to get across to the reader that though he believed that Joseph Smith was in fact a true prophet when he started out, that he later fell, and he was a fallen prophet. On page 25, for instance, he says, "Joseph, like many of those of old whom God had chosen, fell into error. And why should we want to follow any man into error?" He also says on page 36, "Many of the Latter-day Saints believe that it was impossible for Brother Joseph to have fallen. I will give you some evidence upon this matter, which I suppose you will certainly accept, showing that Brother Joseph belonged to the class of men who could fall into error and blindness." One of the points that he raises in his book is found on page 56. It's under chapter Roman numeral 8, the changes and additions to some of the revelations. Now, most Mormons reading the article in the January 2013 edition of the Ensign will see that they were revised through inspiration and not even question that. David Whitmer would not be one of those. He said, "Some of the revelations, as they are now in the Book of Doctrine and Covenants, have been changed and added to. Some of the changes being of the greatest importance, as the meaning is entirely changed on some very important matters, as if the Lord had changed his mind a few years after he gave the revelations and after having commanded his servants to print them in the Book of Commandments." What are the Book of Commandments? The Book of Commandments was a predecessor to the Doctrine and Covenants. They were published in 1833. It was not very large, but later on, these Book of Commandments were incorporated in 1835 into the Doctrine and Covenants. Whitmer makes an interesting statement here on page 56. He says this. He said, "I was there. We're sent to Independence to be published." He's talking about the revelations in the Book of Commandments. "They were sent to Independence to be published and were printed just exactly as they were arranged by Brother Joseph and the others. And when the Book of Commandments was printed, Joseph and the church received it as being printed correctly." Printed correctly. But we find later on in the Doctrine and Covenants, there are some alterations made to some of these revelations that are found in the Book of Commandments.
Now, regarding the book you just were reading from, An Address to All Believers in Christ, if you're somebody out there who wants some interesting reading, you can go online and you can just type that in, An Address to All Believers in Christ PDF, and you will get several different versions and different websites. I encourage you to see what David Whitmer had to say, because even though he, as you said, he still believed in the authenticity of the Book of Mormon, he certainly did not hold to the prophet status that Joseph Smith had, that he was a fallen prophet. And I think
absolutely,
that's the things that he's saying there today are some of the same things that we're saying.
Well, and that's the point. See, most Latter-day Saints, as I mentioned, would see this, well, he made these revisions through inspiration, and not question it any further. That doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to you, Eric. It certainly didn't make sense to David Whitmer, and it probably didn't make sense to a lot of Latter-day Saints who, for instance, Sandra Tanner, by the way, it was an Address to All Believers in Christ that Sandra and her husband Gerald were going to prove was inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And as she started going through it, as Gerald started going through this, they started realizing David Whitmer, he had a case, and it didn't make sense to them either. What do you do with that? Are you just going to allow this alleged prophet of God to make corrections to God's revelations wherever he feels necessary? Or do you say to yourself, as David Whitmer said, something doesn't smell right?
Is that in Denmark?
Well, yeah, something in the state of Denmark.
There you go, in the state. That's the original from Shakespeare. Well, if you're a Latter-day Saint, I guess I would say challenge your faith and see if you can stand the test by reading that and seeing if maybe you don't get some questions as well like Sandra Tanner did. Because if you're going to be honest with yourself, there are some real issues here, especially with what this next paragraph is going to say in this article.
Well, why don't you read that? Because I guess that's going to be our lead into tomorrow's show.
This is what it continues to say. Some of the needed changes stemmed from errors made by scribes as Joseph dictated the revelation to them. I find that interesting.
In light of what David Whitmer says, yeah. When it comes to any corrections made to the same revelations that were found earlier in the Book of Commandments, he would say, no, that's not true.
But let's blame the scribes. We can't blame Joseph because he couldn't have gotten it wrong.
You can never blame Joseph.
He's a prophet. Other changes were made as later revelations incorporated more teachings that had not been part of the initial revelation.
Let me stop there. If that's the case, then doesn't it make sense that God would give an entirely new revelation? Why this having to do this retroactive type of revelation and go back and pencil out or scratch out something that he said earlier? That really doesn't make sense to me.
And that's going to apply in tomorrow's show when this continues on and says, the revelation now known as Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, is an example. Joseph Smith's history explained that the first part of the revelation was received and written down in August 1830 and, quote, the remainder in the September following, end quote. In the earliest manuscripts, only verses 1 through 5 and parts of 15 and 18 were included, but as the text of the Revelations was being prepared for publication, in the 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, the second portion of the Revelation was added, nearly tripling the size of the Revelation.
Now that statement in and of itself is very controversial, because as we're going to see tomorrow, D. Michael Quinn, who is a former Mormon, he was excommunicated in the early 1990s, but D. Michael Quinn wrote on this subject. He wrote on it quite extensively, and he gives a take on this addition that certainly is not being explained in this article. And there are a lot of questions about this addition. The dating of it, for instance. We're going to talk about that tomorrow because I think if most Latter-day Saints will look very carefully at section 27 in the Doctrine and Covenants and compare it to, what was it in the Book of
28.
Commandments? It was section 28. You're going to see, as they admit, a substantial amount of verses have been added to this revelation.
But it wasn't in the original.
It wasn't in the original, and it's not even on the same topic that the original commandment, as we have in the Book of Commandments, was talking about. It's a completely different subject, but it's a necessary one if the Mormons hope to show some kind of harmony in their history.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.